Okay, so this week's parasha is Achrei Mois, and Achrei Mois is synonymous with Yom Kippur. We wane the beginning of Achrei Mois, Yom Kippur in the morning, we wane the Arayis at the end of Achrei Mois by Mincha on Yom Kippur, we have the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So Achrei Mois is a reminder of Yom Kippur. There's a minhag to say, Erev Rosh Chodesh, to say Tefillas Yom Kippur Katan. Say Tefillas Yom Kippur Katan. To fast, say Tefillas Yom Kippur Katan, which is vidui, a person does a tshuva, if you call it a mini Yom Kippur, Erev Rosh Chodesh. Happens to be Rosh Chodesh Nissen, if one should fast, not fast, you know, fast on Chodesh Nissen, but I'll call upon him, Erev Rosh Chodesh is the inner of same Yom Kippur Katan. A famous maisa with the Chavetz Chaim, you do with the maisa. Chavetz Chaim came to Varsha, came into Warsaw, and he stopped in a certain shul. There are different versions to the story. One story names the shul involved, other versions don't. For argument's sake, I'd rather, let's not say any names, let's just tell over the story. He stopped in a particular shul, famous shul in Varsha, and he asked them, when mincha is? He told them what time mincha is. And Chavetz Chaim asked, being that it's Erev Rosh Chodesh, are you going to daven Tefillas Yom Kippur Katan? And they said, here, the minig is not that we don't say Tefillas Yom Kippur Katan. So Chavetz Chaim said to them, why not? Yom Kippur Katan has Mekor. It's brought down already earlier times. And you're doing tshuva, saying vidoy. Why don't you daven Tefillas Yom Kippur Katan? So they said, because that's the minig here. The Rebbe does it, we don't do it, and that's it. So Chavetz Chaim said to them, let me tell you over Moshel. He told them the following Moshel. There was once a poor man traveling on a train. He's taking a train from Lodz, city of Lodz in Poland, to Warsaw, to Warsaw. The train ride is a long ride. 12 stops along the way. This is by 12 stations along the way. And the Oni has to go to Warsaw, and he has his family waiting for him in Warsaw. They tell him to take the following train. In Lodz, you get onto the train at this time. Based on the schedule, you should arrive in Warsaw 2 hours later. Fine. The Oni says, no problem, we'll take that train. He gets on a train in Lodz, he gets onto the train, and they're waiting for him in Varsha. The train comes, Beinenu is not here. The kids, what did the Oni do? He got onto the train in Lodz, and he buys a ticket for only one stop. Takes a train for one stop, and he gets off the next stop. Takes a walk, goes into the town, walks around, comes back to the train station, and buys a ticket for the next stop. Goes onto the train again, till he reaches the third station. Gets off, goes around, takes a tour, comes back, buys his ticket to the fourth station. And the kids, it takes him quite a while to arrive in Varsha. They're waiting for him.
A lot of money.
And it's more money. If you would have bought one ticket, it would have been much cheaper than buying individual tickets for each time he has to pay a new fare. And he takes his time, and he comes to Varsha way after they expect him. And finally when he arrives, they say to him, didn't you take the 12 o'clock train from lunch? He says, yes, I got on the train. So what took you so long? Well, I got off on the next stop. Why? And then I got back on, and I went the next stop, and I got off, and I went back on 12 times, on and off, on and off, on and off. So it took me a long time. So they say to him, nah, why don't you stay on the train? If you're going to Varsha anyway, why don't you stay on the train to the last stop? You came to Varsha. Why did you get off each stop along the way? And not only that, but it cost you more. And the Oni said, don't you understand? He says, I'm a poor man. I didn't have money to buy a full ticket. I didn't have money to buy a ticket all the way to Varsha. It cost a lot of money. All I had was enough money to buy a ticket for one stop. So I took the money that I had and I bought the ticket to the next stop. I got off. I went into town, I went around asking people for money, when I collected enough money to buy a ticket to the next stop, I went back to the train station, bought a ticket for one stop, and I got off, and so on, until I made my 12 stops, and each time I had to go to collect money to buy the ticket for the fare to the next stop. Chavetz Chaim said, Yom Kippur. To go from one Yom Kippur to the next Yom Kippur, 12 months, to go 12 stops, from one Yom Kippur to another Yom Kippur without saying vidui, that a person doing tshuva, that's for the rich people. That's for the tzaddikim. People that have tzchuyas. Tzaddikim could rely that one Yom Kippur will carry them through the year until the next Yom Kippur. But he says the poor people like us, we can't afford to wait a full 12 months. We can't afford to buy a ticket from one Yom Kippur to the next Yom Kippur. But instead, we have to get off the train every stop. and we have to say vidui, do tshuva, and hopefully we'll buy a ticket to carry us through for the next month. And when that month ends, we have to get off the train again. We have to say vidui again and do tshuva, and then we're able to buy a ticket for the next stop in order to continue on until we come to the next Yom Kippur. We have to do tshuva along the way. We can't rely on one Yom Kippur to another Yom Kippur, but we have to get off the train like the Oni did at each stop along, the way. Just it's a good idea if you ever Rosh Chodesh, especially now the days are longer, you come home this time to Chav Minyan, a lot of shuls have a minyan from Kippur Kotlin. It's a good idea to say the vidui. You feel a little aliyah. You feel a little aliyah saying the vidui. It's a good idea. Even if a person doesn't fast, without the fasting, just say the vidui alone is an inyan on Erev Rosh Chodesh. Later on, Pasuk Yitches, Pasuk Hey, the Pasuk tells us, Ushmartem es chukaisai ves mishpatai, watch my chukim, my mishpatim, asher yasa oisim ha'odom v'chai bahem, and you should live in them, ani Hashem, am Hashem. And I know we've mentioned this in the past, but the Gemara in Hayri is Daf Yud Gimel, everyone knows the Gemara, it's really the last Mishnah in Hayri is, mamzer talad chacham, kaidim v'kayin gadol am aretz. A mamzer who's a talmud chacham comes before a kohen gadol who's a am haaretz. Shnema mechabed kovet. You mechabed a mamzer talmud chacham before a kohen gadol am haaretz. Shnema, like it says, a pasuk of Mishlei, yikarahim bepeninim. The Torah talmud chacham is more chashiv than peninim. Peninim, the simple pshat, are jewels, precious jewels. But peninim, the Gemara darshins, me kohen gadol shenichnas lufnai b'lufnim. The Kayan Mamzer, Talmud Chacham, is more Choshev than Peninim, than even the Kayan Gadol, who enters into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So, Talmud Chacham is more Choshev than the Kayan Gadol, Lama Aretz, who enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And Yisrael Salant, it's well known, said, the holiest person in Klal Yisrael is the Kayan Gadol. The holiest place is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The holiest day is Yom Kippur. And here you have all three Kedushas together. You have the holiest person, the Kohen Gadol, on the holiest day, Yom Kippur, in the holiest place, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Mamzer Talmud Chacham, Yekarehim Yepaninim. And yet, the Torah, Talmud Chacham, is more Choshev than the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shows the Chashivus of Torah. How Choshev Torah is, that Torah is even more Choshev than the Kohen Gadol, inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on Yom Kippur. And Chafetz Chaim explained, what's the comparison of Torah to peninim, to jewels? The Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk is Ikarahi, that Torah is more choshev bepeninim than precious jewels. The Chafetz Chaim explains very nicely. When you have a diamond is worth a lot. When you have a diamond double the size, is it worth just twice as much? Or it's worth a lot more than that? The diamond, the bigger it is, the more it's worth. It doesn't increase proportionately. If one diamond is $10,000, doesn't mean a double is worth 20. A diamond double the size is worth even more than that. The bigger the diamond is, the more the value increases. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Torah is the same way. The more a person learns, every word of Torah is worth a lot more. It's not proportional, every word, but the more a person learns, the more chusm a person has. And the better a person becomes. Torah improves a person, Torah protects a person, and the more a person learns, it's not just double, triple, but a person becomes totally different and better and kadosh from learning Torah. It doesn't work on a proportional level. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky was in Siberia. When he was in Siberia, he was together with other Jewish prisoners in Siberia. And together with Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky in Siberia, there were two Jewish brothers, who weren't from Shema Torah mitzvahs. And Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky saw that they were very tzabrachan, they were very down, and they were crying bitter tears. And he asked them, what's the matter? Why are you crying? And they said to him, Do you know who we are? We come from such a wealthy family. There was wealth in our family for hundreds of years, and the wealth was passed down from generation to generation. And now look what happened. And now the government came, took everything away, and now we're penniless here in Siberia. And they said to Yaakov Galinsky, but looking at you, We're jealous of you. Because we see that you kept the wealth that you had. You have your Amuna, you have your Bitochin, you have your Torah, and that we see you have. Nobody can take that away from you. Even here in Siberia, The Russians, they can't take it away from you. You have your wealth. Our wealth was taken away from us, but your wealth was never taken away from you. A person who has a munah, who has bitachin, that's never taken away. A person can have that in all situations, no matter what it is. Yikarim ipaninim. Taira, munah, bitachin that a person has is more choshev than even precious jewels. Because wealth comes and wealth goes. The world's a gagal achayzer, the wheel of fortune turns. But a person who has a taira, as a munah, as bitachin, that remains with a person throughout his life. Rashi brings down this pasuk, and Rashi brings down, where does it mean you live? You live because of the mitzvahs in Olam Haba. If you say it means Olam Hazeh, a person dies at the end. Ani Hashem, neman l'sharam schar, I'm believed to pay schar. So the pasuk promises a person Olam Haba for doing mitzvahs. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chelek, the Mishnah starts off, Kol Yisrael, Yeshem Chelek, Olam Haba. Every year there's a Chelek in Olam Haba. And Chavetz Chaim asks, but we know the Gemara Megillah Chav Ches, the Gemara tells us, we say every day, Kol Hashayin HaLachas B'chol Yoyim, Muftachoy Shubin Olam Haba. Whoever learns HaLachas every day is guaranteed to be a Ben Olam Haba. Chavetz Chaim asks, if Kol Yisrael, Yeshem Chelek, Olam Haba, everybody already has a chelek, so what's the additional promise of kol hashayin halachos? Is muftachoy promise the chelek in Olam Haba? Doesn't everybody already have a chelek beforehand? What's the kol hashayin halachos? And the answer is with also a classic marshal. Wealthy usher is making a chasana for his son, and no expense is spared. Good food, tables are set, and everything is prepared. And the usher sends a carriage to pick up the rav of the city to come as a guest to the chasana. And the carriage goes to the rav's house to pick up the rav of the city. And the rav arrives at the chasana hall. And the usher himself comes out to greet the rav together with the chashuvim. And they bring the rav in, give him a seat by the front table where all the good food is. And they sit him down. A few minutes later, a poor ani walks in the door of the chasana hall. He comes in to the hall. Nobody comes out to greet him. Nobody comes out to welcome him. Nobody comes to give him a seat. And he walks around and he finds himself a seat in the corner and he sits down and he eats whatever food's available on the corner table. Says the Chavetz Chaim, this is exactly what happens in Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael, everybody has a chelek. We're all invited in. But do you want a corner seat? Location. What do you want? What do you want a seat? You want a seat up front. Whoever learns halachas, he learns, he's guaranteed. When he comes to Olam Haba, there's a welcoming committee. Come in. Have a nice seat. Sit down. A person, Yisrael, you're entitled. You have your portion. Find your own seat in the corner. But you're not entitled to the welcoming committee to a sit there chosh v'chaylik. But one of the words halachas is zayche to a chosh v'chaylik in Olam Haba. Everybody has a chaylik, but it depends what chaylik you want. Whoever says Shema Yisrael, once in the morning, once at night, is also mekayim the mitzvah of v'gisa bo yom v'layla. But it's a corner seat. If you want to have a better seat, then a person has to learn more. The more a person is machshiv the Torah, the more he's zayche to. Right. More than a chelik. Here's a portion. Here's a little piece. Okay, fine. Very good. Okay. We all know there's a mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur. Ever since we're this small, we all know there's a mitzvah to fast. And the pasuk tells us, not only is there a mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur, but we know as well that whoever eats on the 9th of Yom Kippur, it's ki'ilu, he fasts on the 9th and on the 10th. The Gemara tells us in Brachas Nafches, whoever eats and drinks on the 9th, mal olav akosuv, the pasuk considers it ki'ilu misane chi vasi, as if he fasts on both the 9th and the 10th. Eating on the 9th is considered as if he fasted on the 9th and the he fasted on the 9th and on the 10th. The why it's like that, why it's the fasting, because one who eats on the 9th is preparing himself to fast on the 10th, he's making achana, he's showing that he's preparing for the 10th, and the pasuk says that he fasts on the 9th and the 10th. In Bnei Barak, there was a certain yid, an elder yid, and the doctors told him that he has to eat Yom Kippur. They told him he can't fast, it's dangerous for him to fast on Yom Kippur, and he can't, and he was very tzibrochen, because never in his life did he dream that he would have to eat on Yom Kippur. He went to the Chazonish, and he complained to the Chazonish, how could he eat on Yom Kippur? His whole life he never ate Yom Kippur, and now the doctors tell him that he has to eat on Yom Kippur. He never thought this would happen to him. And the Chazonish told him, what do you mean you're not fasting Yom Kippur? You think that because you're eating on Yom Kippur, you're not fasting? What does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, whoever eats on the 9th, it's like he fasted on the 9th and the 10th. The Torah told us that by eating on the 9th, it's like fasting. If someone's supposed to eat on the 10th, it's kegel, he fasted also. Your mitzvah is not to fast tomorrow. Your mitzvah is to eat tomorrow. And if you do what the Torah says, you're mekayim the mitzvah. And your mitzvah tomorrow is to eat. Tomorrow, the Torah does not want you to eat, to fast. The Torah wants you to fast tomorrow. And the Chazon ish added on and he said to him, it's all in the way you look at mitzvahs. You're looking at mitzvahs, what you want to do. We have to look at mitzvahs, what Hashem wants us to do. We're all soldiers. We're partial soldiers. Soldiers follow orders. And if in this situation, the orders from the Melech are to eat, then the mitzvah is to eat. If the orders are to fast, then one fasts. But in your situation, the mitzvah of the Melech, the king is commanding you to eat, and therefore you're supposed to eat. And then the Chazonish told him something fascinating. Chazonish told him there were many times the Chazonish said about himself that he wasn't able to put on talus and tefillin in the morning because of my stomach. I had certain stomach elements, issues. I wasn't able to put on talus and tefillin in the morning. And I was misfollowed like this. And I said the following to Hashem. I said to Hashem, you commanded me to put on tzitzis and you commanded me to put on tefillin. And when you commanded me to put on talus and tefillin, I put on tzitzis, and I put on my tefillin. Today, but now, you commanded me not to put on tzitzis, not to put on tefillin. And therefore, I'm not putting on talus, and I'm not putting on tefillin. But, Rabbanu Shalom, help me in the future, Hashem Yizaychi, to put on talus and tefillin. It all depends how a person looks at it. Sometimes we get very frustrated, or down, we can't do a mitzvah in a better way, or you look at somebody else, how have I wished people... Sometimes our job is to do the mitzvah the way we're given it. Sometimes it's obvious what our limits are. Sometimes it's not so obvious. But a person has limits. And a person has to realize that he does what he's supposed to do. And sometimes the rules are different. One person has a mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur, and one person has a mitzvah to eat. Every situation that comes up, a person has to evaluate what his mitzvah is, what he's supposed to do. Of course, we strive to follow what we're supposed to do. But if an exception arises, situation comes up, a person can't get sabrochen over the situation and depressed because the rules are changed for different people. There are times that we have to follow exactly the way it says, and there are times where a person can't. If a person can't, then a person does what he's supposed to do in that situation, but he has to realize that itself is a mitzvah. The same way the Torah said to fast on Yom Kippur, to somebody who can't, the Torah says to eat on Yom Kippur, and it's the same. The Chassam Sofer has a beautiful marshal at the end of the parasha. I said over last year, but the marshal is so powerful and the message is so strong, it can be said over and over again. At the end of the parasha, the Pasuk says in Perek Yiches, Pasuk Chaf Dalad, Al Tatamu B'chol Eila. The Pasuk goes through all of the Arayis. At the end, the Pasuk says, the Klal Yisrael, don't become tamei with all of these. Ki b'chol eile nitmu ha-goyim ashani meshech mepeneichem. Because the goyim became tamei with all of these arayis and sent the goyim away. Va'titma ha-aretz, and the Eretz Yisrael became tamei. Va'efkoi da'voino aleha, va'toki ha-aretz es yoshveha. And the land literally spit out its inhabitants, the goyim, because they sinned in Eretz Yisrael. And the Pasuk warns us not to do the same. And Chassam Sofer said over a beautiful marshal. The wind and the sun get into an argument one day. The wind and the sun, and they're arguing who has more koyach, who's more powerful, who's stronger. The wind says, I'm stronger. The son says, I'm stronger. They get into a whole argument. And finally they decide, how are they going to solve this machlokes? How are they going to reach a solution? They see a person walking wearing a coat. And they make a bet between themselves, which one of them can get the person to take off his coat. Can the wind get the person to take off his coat? Or can the sun get the person to take off his coat? Whichever one is able to have the person take off his coat is stronger. They decide the wind goes first. The wind goes first. The person is wearing the coat. It's open. The wind starts blowing and blowing. What happens when it blows? The coat starts flapping open. And the wind's blowing very strong. And the wind's trying to pull the coat off. And it pushes back. And it's flapping. But the harder the wind blows, the tighter the person grabs it. And as the wind's blowing, the person grabs the coat and he holds it. He pulls it tighter and tighter. And he's holding on to it. And as hard as the wind blows, he's holding on, he's holding on, he's holding on. And the wind gives up. The wind can't blow the coat off. It's the sun's turn. The sun is shining, and the sun becomes warmer and warmer, and starts beating down on top of the person. He's sitting there in the heat of the sun. He starts to schwitz. And he gets very hot. Beads of sweat on his forehead. He gets so hot, he just decides he can't wear the coat anymore. And from the heat of the sun, he takes off the coat. The sun wins the argument. The sun is stronger than the wind. Says the Chazam Sofer, there are two types of goals. When we're in goals with the God, there are two types. There's a goal that's like the wind, and a goal that's like the sun. Sometimes the goal is the goyim attack us. Physically, the goyim come at us, and the wind's blowing at us, and they try to take away what we have. And what does a yid do when the wind's blowing very strong? We hold on to what we have. We hold on, we grab hold. We hold on to our amunah, to our bitachon, to the Torah, to the mitzvahs, whatever we can hold on to, we grab a hold of. We wrap the coat tight around ourselves. And as hard as the wind blows, as hard as the goyim try to beat us, the goyim try to hurt us, the goyim try to win over us, we hold on tightly to the coat, to what we have, we don't let go. And then sometimes we have a goal that's like the sun, where the sun is shining on us, the goyim are friendly with us, smiling at us, come be like us, come join us. And what happens in such a goal? The sun shines, the friendliness, the smiles, it's all there. And what do we do, unfortunately? When it gets too hot, gets a little bit too friendly, too close with the goyim, without any pressure at all, we just take off the coat. And we start joining and acting like the goyim do. A golus where the sun is shining is a very dangerous golus. Because in that case, the opportunities to take off the jacket happens very easily. And the Yetzer is able to convince a person to join the goyim and take off the coat. Sometimes it says that his times already was a goalless like the sun. Imagine in our times, the goalless that we live in is a goalless where the sun is shining. And the sun is shining bright. And the goyim are saying to us, come, join us, act like us, be like us. And we have to try very, very hard not to take the coat off, to keep the coat on. Don't become tamei like the goyim. Even though the goyim are calling us and the goyim are telling us everything is okay, in today's day and age, anything goes. Whatever had some respect in the earlier days, it's all gone. And the goyim are calling us, come to us. And the coat's in danger of being taken off. We're in danger of losing it. The sun is stronger than the wind. Out of time, we're very, very careful to keep our kedusha. Remember who we are. And it ties in very well to next week's parasha, kedoshim tiyu. Da'aber el b'nei Yisrael v'amartem aleihem kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem lekeichem ish imoy v'oviv tirom. I'm not sure if it was the Chido or the Ben Ishchai. It's Ben Ishchai who says, what's the smichas ha-psukim between kedoshim tiyu and ish imoy v'oviv tirom? Between being kadosh and the mitzvah of moira, fearing one's father and one's mother. And he says very nicely, because when a person is sitting and he has an isayin, a person has a challenge. Kedoshim tiyu, be kadosh. It's hard. Look at the world around us. How do we stay kadosh? Ish imoy v'aviv tirom. Look back to the previous generation. Look up. Look where you came from. Look back. Look back. A person's father, a person's mother. Look back to the previous generation. And remember what the previous star did. They had their challenges. The previous generation had their nisyonos, and they overcame it. And who did they look up to? They looked up to the dar before. And so on and so on and so on. We have a chain going all the way back from one generation to another. When the siyanis become hard, the challenges become hard, kedoshim to you. And what's the secret? How does one stay kadosh? Ish imayva aviv tiro. By looking back, what did his parents do when they had an assignment? What did the Zayda do? What did the older generations do when they had assignments? We're not the only generation with assignments. They've been around many, many years, many, many times. What did they do? That's the secret to Kedusha. The secret is to look back, to see what the earlier generations did. Person looks back. It's obvious. A person looks back. B'zaycha to be Kedushim to you. Shtaka b'zaycha. Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us when days of Sfira, preparing for Shavuos, a connection between Pesach and Shavuos, b'zaycha to Kedushim to you, to be able to retain the Kedusha by learning from the obvious from the earlier generations. And we should b'zaycha to the Kedusha of the Yemei HaSfira, Mezecha Tekabolas Toilon.